59. The Art of the Thing. After a mutual exchange of various telephone numbers, both written down and entered in phones, Big Ant left. Gareth had also insisted on establishing codes by which either could indicate that he was speaking under duress or that he believed the conversation was being somehow surveilled. Hollis, discovering that she was actually very hungry, took advantage of this to catch up on her breakfast. Gareth began to write in his notebook, in what was either shorthand or his impossible handwriting. She'd never been sure. "Do you really think he'd honor that agreement if you were able to do whatever it is you intend to do?" she asked as he capped his pen. "Initially, I imagine he'd then manage to start to see that he'd really made a different agreement and that any subsequent misunderstanding is ours alone. But then it would become a matter of reminding him, and at the same time reminding him exactly how his little difficulty had been tidied. Quite a lot of this, and why it needs to be very good indeed, is the need to impress Big End with the idea that he wouldn't want anything like it to ever happen to him, without ever uttering anything like a threat, mind you, for which reason I would hope that you'd put your man at the Guardian back in the box. If he's the one I think you mean, he makes me want to believe that global warming isn't androgenic, just to spite him." "Where's your eccentric mentor in this?" "He'll be in the background, if he's to be involved at all, and I'm glad of it. He was happier during the previous administration in the United States. Easier to be around."
"He was."
"Less free-floating ambiguity, then. I'll need his permission to use the material we prepared for that other exploit, but Gracie seems a perfect match for his targeting mechanism, as he has a peculiar detestation for war profiteers, who are certainly no less abundant now than they used to be, though generally a bit less flagrant. I'll also need him to hook me up with Charlie. Sweet old boy in Birmingham, Gurkha."
"Gurkha?
Perfect deer. Love him to bits."
"Fuck me, it's the prodigal skydiver."
Hollis swung around at Heidi's voice and found her there, in the gap between the screens, Ajay peering around her shoulder.
"What's this?"
Heidi pushed at the mahogany frame of one of the screens, causing the whole thing to wobble alarmingly.
"Planning on having it off right here?"
Gareth smiled. "Hello, Heidi."
"Heard you were well and truly fucked," said Heidi.
She was wearing gray sweats under her majorette jacket.
"Look about the same to me."
"What did Milgram do last night?" Hollis asked.
"Big N says he hurt someone."
"Milgram?
Couldn't hurt himself if he had to. Fucker from that car was behind us. I'd known it for blocks."
She raised her hand and made a concise little dart-throwing gesture.
"Rhenium! Screamed like a bitch."
"A great honor," said Ajay, from behind Heidi, his eyes wide with excitement.
Heidi put her arm around him, shoved him forward.
"Ajay," said Heidi, "fastest sparring partner I've ever had. We went over to Hackney this morning and beat the living shit out of each other."
"Hello, Ajay," said Gareth, offering his hand. "Can't believe this, really," said Ajay, pumping Gareth's hand. "Blinding to see you're not as badly off as we'd heard. Download all your videos. Fantastic."
Hollis half expected him to ask for an autograph, his waterfall bobbing with excited delight.
"What flavor, the sparring?" asked Gareth.
"Bit of everything, really," said Ajay, modestly.
"Really?" said Gareth. "We should talk. As it happens, I need someone fast in just that way."
"Well then," said Ajay, running his hand through his waterfall. "Well then."
Like a child who'd just been told, in July, that it was actually now, officially, absolutely, Christmas morning.
"You aren't sorry you didn't quit before the shit hit?"
Heidi asked. They were back in her room where Hollis saw that the breast chaser had been partially painted, though wasn't yet under construction. There was a faint smell of aerosol enamel. Hollis shook her head. Ajay was pacing excitedly by the window.
"Calm the fuck down," Heidi snapped at him. "Elvis isn't leaving the building. Get used to it."
Gareth had asked to be taken to number 4 in order to make some calls and use his laptop. To get him there, in the chair, they'd had to go along a hallway to the rear of the building and take a service elevator
that Hollis had never seen before. Utterly devoid of Tesla charm, being German, nearly silent, and highly efficient, it got them to their floor quickly. But then Hollis became confused about the route to the room. The hallways were maze-like. Gareth, however, had remembered the way exactly.
"So who are these people, supposed to be fucking with us?" asked Heidi. "The dipshit with the bandage, how scary is that?"
"He's a clothing designer," said Hollis.
"If they aren't all pussies," said Heidi, "who is?"
"It's the man he works for," Hollis said. "A retired Special Forces major named Gracie."
"Gracie? What about fucking Mabel? You're totally making this shit up, aren't you?"
"It's his last name. And Gareth's last name, while I remember, is now Wilson. That was what he told Big End it was at breakfast. Gracie's an arms dealer. Big End was spying on some business of his in South Carolina. Well, Milgram was, on his orders. In the process of that, Oliver Slight, who you met in Vancouver but probably don't remember, Big End's IT security specialist, defected to Gracie."
"But you're in love, right?"
Heidi interrupted.
"Yes,"
said Hollis, surprising herself.
"Well," said Heidi, "I'm glad that's sorted. The rest of this shit's just shit, right? Are Jay gonna get to violate his ASBO or what?"
There was a rap at the door.
"Who the fuck?"
inquired Heidi loudly.
"Gareth, love."
"He likes you," said Ajay, delighted.
"He likes you too," said Heidi. "So try to keep your fucking pants on."
She opened the door, held it as Gareth powered the scooter in, then closed, locked, and chained it.
"All good," said Gareth to Hollis. "Old chap signed off. He's calling the solicitor about the bank, calling Charlie."
He turned the chair toward Ajay.
"Know this Milgram, then?"
"No," said Ajay.
"Are Milgram and Ajay of a similar height?"
Heidi raised her eyebrows, considered.
"Close enough."
"Build?"
"Milgram's a fucking weed."
Big End guessed 10 stone. "But Ajay's not that broad, really," said Gareth, considering him.
"Wiry. Core strength. No excess muscle mass. Wiry can do weed. Done any acting, Ajay?"
"At school," said Ajay, pleased.
"Islington Youth Theater."
"I haven't met Milgram either. We'll both have to.
Can you do a Rupert for me, then? How does a Rupert walk inspection?"
Ajay straightened, thumbs aligned with the seams of his sweatpants, assumed a supercilious expression, and strolled past Heidi, taking her in with a quick and disapproving glance.
"Good," said Gareth, nodding. "Milgram," said Heidi to Gareth, "is your basic, pasty-faced, Caucasian fuck. You couldn't find a whiter guy."
"Ah," said Gareth. "But that's the art of the thing, isn't it?"